Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
What kind of sandwich did you get?
I got the Reuben. I think it's called Brooklyn Reuben.
Okay.
A little sauerkraut on there.
Is that your favorite? What kind of sandwich is your favorite?
Ooh.
To delve into two like serious things right away.
It all depends on where we go. If I go to Gus's, I get their chicken strip sandwich. That's the best. But me, I'm not a picky guy. I like different things. Sometimes the gobbler, it's the turkey. It's like a Thanksgiving turkey and cranberries. I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty good, too.
But I'll mix up everything. I like turkey, ham, club sandwiches.
Is Gus's your favorite? Is your sandwich shop of choice in town?
It's usually my
go-to. Gus's, High Street, Lincoln.
Or High Street on the days where we get deals and stuff. Like, you can't beat that. And High Street's got a pretty good breakfast sandwich. And Gus's has a good tri-tip breakfast burrito. If you put avocado and sour cream. So
yeah,
I feel like since I've been here for almost 5 years now, I've hopefully got the places down.
I always thought Frank's for breakfast was like the best.
Frank's?
The bacon that they have is just like,
oh yeah,
it's different.
Well, I lived by Franklin or by Frank's, and I'd go there like twice a week only for breakfast. I think I haven't been there for lunch in a long time, but their breakfast is a really good deal. So I get the pancake breakfast with linguica and eggs.
Yeah, it's like $4 or something silly.
Yeah, well, they actually raised the prices.
Oh.
I think they raised it by like 80 cents or something like that on the breakfast, pancake breakfast, but only college students would notice
that would make a difference for.
Because I would usually come with just the exact amount that I would need, or I'd always call it in first.
Yeah, you mentioned college students, and I know it wasn't something I was planning to ask you about, but and food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The NCAA is changing their rules on food now, you heard. And was that ever really an issue? I mean, I kind of look at it, it's like Shabazz Napier, and he's like, I go to bed hungry some nights and forth. Was that really an issue for guys?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Like, especially the on-campus food is not cheap. And for the stipend that players get, even those that are on full scholarship or even the partial scholarship guys, of course, even more. But for me, being like a D lineman, gaining weight and getting stronger and faster, you needed a lot more nutrition. And for me, I had to have, thankfully, my parents like would give me money like monthly extra on top of my scholarship, because it wouldn't have cut it. I would have definitely starved, you know. And the dorm days, like, we'd be out of meals and stuff by like Thursday, and you'd have to like borrow a friend's or use someone else's or pay for the extra price, which the dorm food's always overpriced. But so yeah, being a college student and the new rules that they're implementing.
So what were the rules? What was the team allowed to feed you? Like meals before games only, or what do you know, like exactly what that was?
It got a lot better. I remember my first year coming into camp, they gave us two meals a day, and they gave you a snack, which would be like bananas and like a fruit and like a granola bar in the morning, and then you get two meals. But this last 2 years, camp has been, we get all three meals buffet style in Metro, which has been awesome. Like, camp is great for feeding and stuff. But then the other times of the year,
so that's just during like training camp and maybe spring drills or something like that.
Just training camp.
Yeah. So like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year.
Actually, for us, since we're on the quarter system, it's I think about 6 weeks because school hasn't started yet.
Right at the beginning of the year.
But that usually goes, I think, the funding usually goes through the
Sally
football
and
program.
Owen.
Yeah.
Okay. Owen?
Yeah, Owen.
Sally?
Sully, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
<It's all good.
laughs> This is awkward.
Don't call him Sally.
Not awkward. It's
I good. Guess I should mention we're on the Fansmanship podcast with Sullivan Groves. I didn't really mention that before. So now it's like unlimited food and snacks that they can give the players now is kind of what I read.
Well, yeah, if you could explain a little more about that. I was talking with Coach Anna about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Is it the football program is allowed to fund more to get the kids unlimited, or is it the school alone can't charge the student, or they get unlimited through the school?
I don't know how it works out, like, in terms of, like, what's on scholarship, what's not, what they can. I always pictured, like, you know, like you said, like the buffet styles at the meal hall. That's kind of what I always pictured, is like they could just do that as much as they wanted. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to look. Yeah. Who knows? But it's going to be better, right?
It'll be a lot better. The other thing is, I believe they're allowing some more funding for summer school. I read that too. Coach Walsh mentioned that today when I was at practice, that they're going to be able to allow more kids to go to summer school and pay for more kids, which is good because it puts them further towards graduating, which is ultimately an important goal of a university.
And trying to go to school and play at the same time, football's kind of lucky, I think, in that it's mostly during one, you know, that there's that fall season, and then, you know, winter, spring maybe is a little easier to focus. But like basketball kind of carries over between one and the other.
Yeah.
Between winter and spring. And so it's like, I always wondered like how easy that was for those guys, you know, taking finals in the middle of their conference tournament, all those kinds of things. I mean, you guys take finals at the end of your year in football, but that would have been a kind of a tough thing.
And that's nice with basketball. They have less guys, so they allow for their players to be in for summer school, because the catch-22 is also that they are now enrolled in school, so then the coaches are allowed to work with them and do some more stuff, I think is what the new rules are being implemented. So, which in the end, it's a good thing. Any more opportunity for the coach to be working with their players is a really good thing, because these kids need it. Everyone does. I needed it. We all do.
Are you done with school?
I'm done.
Okay.
I graduated in the fall.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
School has always been important to me. Uh-huh. And since I was a freshman, I always had a plan to graduate in 4 years.
Okay.
And
you redshirted.
I redshirted.
Right.
So I knew I was going to have, thankfully with football, just the fall extra. But I was, I had an idea that maybe I wanted to go to grad school at Cal Poly.
Okay.
But then eventually my dream was being looked at that I could go to the NFL, so I could just take one class in the fall, and that's pretty much what I did.
And be done for now, and who knows, yeah. So what does a day in the life like look like for you right now? What is a day in Sullivan Groves' life right now? Is it like working out all the time, just working out and eating? What do you got going on?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm on a strict schedule where I get a lot of sleep, I get a lot of good food, I have time to go grocery shopping, buy the right food, and make good meals to fuel my body with these workouts. So I usually wake up around 7:30, and then I get to the weight room around 9, lift, have a hard lift and a run, and then I am done by 12, and I grab a lunch and go down to the coach's office, and I'll watch some film, kind of talk and go over some schemes.
So you work out with the coach, with the strength and conditioning guys at Cal Poly, is that?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when I work out, I go to the school and I work out with Chris Holder and then a few of the other guys that are graduated as well. Mm-hmm. And then I watch some film and do some stuff for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then usually the rest of my day is filled with whatever I want it to be. I could go to yoga. I've been going to yoga a little bit. I like that a lot. Yeah. It helps me. Another way for me to release some of the soreness that I have, I'll go on hikes. I've been hunting a lot.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of that.
Yeah.
What are you hunting?
Turkeys. Okay. It's turkey season right now, and the Central Coast is full of them. Yeah. But it's hard to find. It's hard to find them, especially in a public property area. Mm-hmm. Private property, you know, you can't do that. So you got to find a public place and do it legally. Is always fun, and it's a challenge. And I'm hopefully going to go out later tonight, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is the best time to hunt, like, in the evening?
It's in the morning or the evening, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I went out with a couple of the players that are still on the team. We went out last night and got close to one or a couple, and we're probably going to go back and maybe hopefully get them tonight or in the morning.
There you go. So, you know, you're kind of just working out all day, eating, kind of just being mellow, trying to get a lot of sleep. Are there some specific goals in terms of like weight or strength by the time you get to the draft, or is that all kind of done by now? Like in terms of, you guys had your draft day, is that all kind of there? Is there like how much do you weigh right now?
Right now I go to bed around 3:02 and I'll wake up. I'm one of those guys that have a pretty good metabolism, so I'll wake up like 296. I'm right where I want to be. I talk to my agent.
So you lose 6 pounds overnight?
Yeah.
Every night? That's awesome.
Yeah, every night, because it's fluids, it's meals.
Totally.
That gives you a good idea of how much I have to eat each day. Like, I eat 6 meals, and they're pretty good-sized meals, you know?
Sure.
And I'm constantly eating, but I don't mind it, you know? A lot of people think that life isn't too bad, you know? But
Stuff my face.
Yeah, as I'm eating too.
Yeah.
But in regards to goals, right now it's just probably working on getting my cardio up to best I can, because the next real thing I have is minicamp, when that starts. Maybe there's a coach or so that might come in and put me through a workout, but I'm not too worried about that. Uh-huh. I move real well for my size, so mini camp is the biggest thing, and I got to work on my cardio and, as always, just get stronger and faster. But most of the work is done. Most of it got done during season, which is the biggest part, and then pro day was another aspect. But with where I am now, I'm pretty happy.
Again, here with Sullivan Groves. You had your pro day. I saw, some of the numbers, or kind of read some of the numbers. It seems like they stack up against any of the other, or a lot of the other defensive linemen that get drafted all over the board in terms of round of the draft, or even guys who come in later. Is that a good, way to say that? That at some point your numbers are what they are and they're good enough, and then it's just kind of what that team thinks you're going to be.
That's pretty much it. And a lot of teams are old school, where they don't even look at the numbers, And then you got this younger generation of younger coaches and stuff that are, and a lot of the media that's real caught up in the numbers, and they think, oh, well, this guy can run this, so he's going to get drafted high. But how do you do during season?
Right.
Is what the guys are going to really look at. So it's kind of back and forth, and some people will disagree and agree. But yeah, I think my numbers are doing real well. A lot of the combine and pro day stuff is all about making sure they're not slow, or making sure they're not stiff, and they got to be fluid and they got to move real well.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm sure you saw from Facebook. Mm-hmm. My dad's posted that video. Of course, he's always been there for me, and it's been nice. And he was there to post that, and we've been spreading that to all the teams and stuff.
Yep.
And for those that weren't there, I'm getting a lot of phone calls back from teams that weren't at the pro day, wanting more film and stuff. Oh. About four or five teams my agent mentioned have called him, as well as the ones that were there were getting real good feedback. So,
well, that's positive. So, Cal Poly is kind of an interesting, football enigma, and being in California, being a FBS school or FCS school, being one of four FCS schools in the state. I mean, there's not a lot in terms of that level of play. But there have been a few guys who've played in the league, on both sides of the ball. Ramsey's Barton, I saw last night at the baseball game. Chris Gokong, I know, has had a really good career, playing defense, and if not for injuries, I think could have had a really long, longer career, in terms of how he's doing. I don't know if he's officially retired, but I don't know if he played last year. I know his knees. So have you talked to either of those guys or anybody, any of those kind of past players, and how does that work?
Yeah, I've talked to Ramsey's actually been awesome. He's a good friend of Chris Holder's, our strength coach, and he's been working out here for the last month. And
he seems just super down to earth.
He really is. Yeah, he's a great guy. He was out of he's been at practice every morning with the team, spring ball practice, and every time I talk to him, we just he's a guy. We're all guys. That's what you learn about it. And we talked about this exact thing, talking about FCS compared to the bigger schools, 1A schools, and the way he put it and the way I really remember it is they – just because they went to these bigger schools doesn't mean they're better players than some of our best guys. For example, him and I, it's just those schools have more players like us.
Right.
And that's how they win, and that's how they compete at that higher level.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're any different. And he said that, and that's something that really stuck with me. So that's a prime example about talking to a guy like him that's – it makes you feel better because – you wonder how different they are, but no, they're just other guys doing the same thing, They have to compete. If anything, they have more pressure because they're from these bigger schools that are expected, from Notre Dame or something, are expected to be at the top, But from Cal Poly, I have my own pressure, which always makes a difference.
So, when you're from Cal Poly and you're, one of maybe a few guys who could get drafted over the course of every couple years, maybe, ASA, guys who kind of get drafted and get on teams, what have people told you about kind of what to expect on draft day? I mean, I would imagine there's a huge wide range, and you have to prepare yourself for any of that, right?
Definitely. My agent, when I first talked to him and stuff, and he's been watching all my film, and he mentioned to me he thought he'd be surprised if I wasn't drafted. Which, like you mentioned, with that being said, it doesn't necessarily mean anything,
Right.
It comes down to a lot of aspects in that one team,
Right.
That's what it all comes down to. But he's been talking to a lot of the scouts, and they all say late rounds, 5th, 6th, or 7th round. And
so Thursday, Friday, probably
most likely that Saturday.
Right, Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Right. Because I believe
Thursday's the first round, I think, and Friday's the second or second and third.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, it's something like that. So that Saturday will be the big day, whether it's late rounds or undrafted.
Right.
And but for me personally, like, I'm one of those guys that I don't get caught up in that kind of stuff. You know, I don't get caught up in accolades and I don't get caught up in stats. I just get focused on what I want to do. And so for me, like, I'm banking on being wherever. It doesn't matter because I'm going to work just as hard whether I go in whatever the late rounds or undrafted. So, but it would be an exciting time for me if I did get drafted for about maybe an hour. And then I realized, all right, it's time to get to work. Maybe I need to go make sure I eat well, or I go work out again or something, go for a run.
Get to where you need to get to, even just physically, wherever that city is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back for Cal Poly fans this season. Let's kind of just talk about it for a second. This past season, team went 6-6 after being a co-champion of the Big Sky in the first year in the conference. I always told people this about the team this season. You're like probably two plays away or three plays away from being like 8-4 or 9-3 even. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at that Yale game and you know, it's just kind of a head scratcher. And I think that was kind of the game that really was the worst. You know, the Montana game, you guys are there and you're, like I said, a play away. Mm-hmm. There was another blocked field goal away. Mm-hmm. In a couple of the other games, the Northern Arizona game was a kickoff return. Mm-hmm. That was the difference. Yeah. I mean, so you go back and you look at like those three games or those, yeah, really, that could have very easily been won with a couple of more plays. And I think 6-6 for Cal Poly fans is disappointing. Mm-hmm. Cause there's high expectations always. Mm-hmm. How would you characterize like the past season?
Well, the Big Sky is a great conference. There's a lot of really good teams. Like, I remember each week it didn't matter who we were playing because it was going to be a dogfight, and all the teams are really good, and it's important that you respect that. And with, just like you said, there were some close games this last year. I think a lot of it has to do with the maturity of the team. The little things are what come back and bite you in the butt. Like you talk about the punt return, the field goal block, a lot of those things I wouldn't say blame, but a lot of them are part of immaturity and players being young and not working on those little things. And we had a young team.
Is that part of FCS football at some level? You know, you talked about like the depth of talent and the depth of maturity. Like, and is that something that like it's kind of rare when you find an FCS team that has that kind of top to bottom maturity, right? Like you guys maybe had 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's necessarily a difference between 1A, 1AA. I think each team has their guys that have to grow. It just is a part of being a football player. And we might not have the depth that some of the big schools do, but we have guys that are fighters and workers, and I think that's the most important thing too. But a lot of the guys, they have to build up on those little aspects and make sure they don't make those little mistakes, because they're realizing after this last year that those get capitalized on. And I think that was a big aspect. Of course, figuring out who was our main quarterback was a big thing, too. A lot of guys got their opportunities, and some capitalized, some couldn't. Yeah. Injuries were always a problem. Yeah. But the best part is that you saw some losses, and then the guys bounce back. Right. And that's what you want to see. You want to see that fire in your team, and that's what's going to carry on for the next years. I've been on some great winning teams that, you know, they hit that peak in the game where you're saying, okay, this could go south or we could push forward, and they just keep pushing forward, and that's a lot of maturity, I think, and that's what it takes. And I think guys grew a lot this last year, and I'm expecting them to be better this next season.
I thought you guys might have had the best like linebacking core in a long time this year. Mm-hmm. But I also thought, when you talk about like maturity and stuff, Kenneth Jackson not being there this year, you know, from the year before, you know, in terms of just like seeming like he was always in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Not that Johnny or Nick or Cameron weren't, but, you know, because I don't think you could point it at any linebacker and say that it was not good. I mean, I think one of the, but I thought, you know, in terms of like team maturity and kind of that that team part, I thought Kenneth Jackson not being there was a thing. The other thing that I always told people all year was the idea that everybody wanted to focus on the quarterback thing, but it was really amazing what the defense was doing in terms of getting stops on possession after possession and not giving up touchdowns and kind of keeping you guys in games, because while you were a play away at Montana, Montana had, I think, 7 points, you know, with 2 minutes to go in the game. That's ridiculous. At Montana, where they win 85% of their games or something stupid. You know, you look back at some of those games, you know, the Northern Arizona game that, you know, you guys were holding, was it Bowman, to, like, you know, very, very few yards. And, you know, they win it on a kickoff return. So, you know, I thought the defense, because it wasn't super like a big play defense, right? You guys didn't get 50 sacks as a team. You know, that's kind of what people have seen here before. And so they say, well, they're not getting 50 sacks, so they must not be as good defensively. It was kind of a different philosophy, right? I mean, in terms of bend and, do you guys talk about like bend and don't break? Or like, do you talk about just like keeping the play in front of you more?
What do you mean by that? Like,
so like
our
there
philosophy
were,
kind of?
Yeah, so like, I mean, a lot of teams got a lot of yards, but then they kick a field goal, or they get a lot of yards and go for it on fourth and, you know, fourth and two, fourth and one, and you guys stopped a ton of fourth downs.
Yeah.
I mean, as well, you know, and it seemed like there was always kind of the between the 20s or between the 30s, maybe teams were able to sometimes get yards, but once you got inside the 40 and the 30, it just got like progressively just a lot harder. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always, but I think for you guys this year it did.
And that's what it takes to be a great defense. You can't. You have to be almost like a whole separate team. You know, you're a whole separate half of your team in a way, or a third, I guess, including special teams. But we always said from the beginning with Coach Brown's philosophy was we got to be the best defense in the Big Sky. And if you look at a lot of the numbers, we were one of the best.
Right.
Because we wanted teams to come in and say, okay, we're going to try and run power on you. Like in Montana, I remember we had them backed up on their sidelines, and they tried to run power on us 3 times in my gap. And right. I'm just like, you're not going to get this play.
Right.
And we stopped them 3 times in a row. Right. And it's things like that that we have to say, hey, like, there's a bad call. Like in Montana, of course, that's the haunting game for me. Yeah. We have there's a terrible call by the ref for a fumble on Cole. You remember that? And it's like, all right, hey, defense, we got to get out there and do it again. You know, it didn't matter what the offense was doing. We had to be independent, you know.
Right.
Of course, that's easy to say and hard to do at times.
The Yale game haunts me.
I forget about that.
Because it's not in conference.
For even remembering that.
but I think, like, from a fan perspective, if you would have beat Yale and gone 7-5, no other team you lost to was either unranked or an FBS school. So like that's a like perfectly like respectable like decent season. Mm-hmm. It's not great, but it's kind of just 7-5, and you know, you kind of beat the teams you should have, and you lost to some good teams. When you lose that Yale game and now you're 500, I think that was kind of a turning point. But you know, water under the bridge at this point. It's spring ball for the next year.
I agree.
What part about your game's like super NFL ready, you think? And what part of your game like are you still really working on as you finish chewing your Reuben?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of aspects I need to work on. I will forever be working on my game. I think I have a lot of knowledge in the pass rush area, and I credit Keith Millard, John's dad. I've been working with him since freshman year, and I'd go down there every summer. John and I would fly to wherever he was coaching at. So we went to Tampa Bay, we went to Nashville and stuff, and we trained with him for like 2 weeks during the summertime. And that was the greatest experience because he would coach us like he would his NFL guys. And I wouldn't be the pass rusher I am today without his help. He taught me how to work on lanes, how to study their stances, how to stay like into their heads, you know. And pass rushing is a game. It's a game of you give
them a game within a game.
It is. It really is. And you have to set up your moves, and all that is really important and stuff that I've learned for so long. This year I've been able to really show it, and I think I could have even more if we had more opportunities to. But I'd say my pass rush is my best part of my game, and then of course being.
But you're an interior lineman. I mean,
I am.
That's not like.
Let's be true. Yeah.
Like you're not going on the edge probably, but for an interior lineman, really good pass rusher, mm-hmm. for sure. And, mm-hmm. sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're right. And
so, like, 22 sacks in a career for an interior lineman is a ton.
Yeah.
For a defensive end, might have been kind of okay, but...
Agreed. For an interior lineman, I think I've done pretty well with my numbers. But, and then my run stuff, I think it'll be a bigger transition, you know, going from teams where they might have smaller alignment, uh-huh. you know, mm-hmm. to where teams are more bigger, like Fresno State and like Colorado State. So I've learned a lot from those games because I need to transition into going against bigger guards and bigger centers and people like that,
right.
because it makes a difference leverage wise. So you have to make sure your feet are in the right spot and your hands are in the perfect position, your eyes and everything. So that's something I've been working on. I'm even going to go work with Keith, and he says he wants to work with me on more of my run blocking stuff and just make sure I'm really powerful off the ball.
How do you stand out as a defensive lineman? Like, it seems like it's the kind of position that maybe it's hard. I mean, if you're doing your job, maybe you're getting double teamed and freeing up a linebacker to mm-hmm. make a good tackle. Mm-hmm. Do it as a FCS defensive lineman. Is that something that NFL teams, like, you know, can look at and in your conversations with guys, mm-hmm. has that, like, is it clear that they're able to kind of see everything that you can do?
Well, I'd like to believe so.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
For my style of being a defensive lineman, I bring in the aspects of a motor and hustling and good size and good strength, all those aspects. Especially, like you mentioned, coming from our level, you have to be great in all areas. And for me, like, I played middle linebacker in high school.
Right.
I'm used to rushing,
chasing
running back all the way down to the edge and stuff like that. And that's something that I've incorporated. So being a big guy with a motor is my style, and I'm hoping it works out, you know. And I think that's what the NFL needs. They don't need just big, whole plugging guys.
I mean, you see the guys who are 350 who are, like, you know, just first and second down guys who, mm-hmm. you know, who play.
Yeah.
But that's not what you are either.
That's not what I am.
Sure not.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm more of, like, I've always iconed Justin Smith from the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
And he's that kind of hustle guy. Like, right. he beats guys in their gaps. He frees up the linebackers to make plays.
Again, he doesn't probably get a lot of accolades, doesn't get a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
But he's always in the right position. Mm-hmm. Right?
But for a D lineman, you know, he's awesome. And only, you're right, like someone from the outside looking in, he's like, oh, well, I don't really understand why he's getting so much credit, you know.
Right.
But from a D lineman, understanding other D linemen, he's phenomenal.
Right. And the teammates would say the same thing. They'd say,
definitely.
Yeah. moving on real quick. Your family is really fun. I met your dad. I was fortunate enough to be able to go see your game against Wyoming two seasons ago.
Yeah.
And there was a guy with a sweet hat and maybe some amazing suspenders who was on the sidelines on Cal Poly's side and had his Cal Poly gear on and was, you know, just super pumped about, you know, the way the game was going and
yeah.
running up and down the sidelines with me. And so, you know, I got to talking to him and Stan's a one in a real unique guy. I really enjoy your dad. What does it mean to have a support system like your parents? I mean, they own Horn Photo in Fresno, so they're always kind of visible. They're, you know, whether they're in like the Hummer he's taking pictures on the sidelines with, you know, bright colored. I think he has some, like, pink, some sweet pink pants, maybe.
Yeah, yes.
That I've
neon
seen.
Green.
Yeah, neon green, maybe. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but what does it mean to have like family who's that kind of supportive and involved and you know throughout your career?
Well, you know, it's an area of my life that I take for granted. You know, like, it takes some reflecting to realize that not everyone has that. You know, for me, it's what I've been grown up with. But looking back, and the more I get older and mature, and I realize how awesome that is, and especially someone who hopes to have a family one day and hopes to be able to do the same things to support their kids, you know, financially and as well as just support them as a parent, you know. And it's awesome. And he's always doing stuff for me. And my parents, I'm so fortunate for them. And they've done so much and given me so much. And the opportunities, I couldn't have had better ones, you know, and that's really nice to see him at every away game, and he's tailgating with all the other parents, you know what I mean, and they're having a great time. It's more like they're using me as an excuse to go on a vacation in a way.
That's kind of what, yeah, he hints at that sometimes. Yeah. It's great. I really like it. I mean, the game at Fresno State, of course, it's your home. You know, they had a whole huge tailgate set up there. I mean, that thing was on point. I stopped by there for a little bit, but it's just, I mean,
and that's the funny part is everyone mentions like, oh, your dad's tailgates are so great,
they're
like,
epic.
You gotta go, and I'm like, oh, awesome, guys. I'm glad you guys' party is fun. Like, sorry, I was a little busy. But that's what life's about, isn't enjoying it. And and you talk about his like crazy gear that he wears and stuff.
It's awesome. Awesome.
That kind of stuff is just normal. It's just what I'm used to, and it's not something official.
Did he have like red pants when you're at San Joaquin Memorial?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. No, definitely. And but it's not as official as you would think. Like if I could say like, oh, Dad, you got to throw those away. I'd be like, all right, like I'll throw those away and I'll get some different one, you know, next time.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a tradition. It's just more of random.
And
that's what makes it fun. He's a corny guy, and it's fun to be around him.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you want to tell me to that you don't want to talk about it, that's fine too. But I read you're engaged.
Yeah.
And you've been engaged for a while, I think, since before last season, right?
It'll actually be a year and a week.
Okay, so
yeah,
you're engaged during your senior year of a college football season. Is that I mean, obviously that's not the norm. How is it going through like a college football season and being engaged and like, you know, is that something that's awkward ever or anything like that?
Not at all. I've always known that my path is the path that I want to be on. I choose my own faith, and I don't really care too much about other people, what they might say behind my back or whatnot. But I've been dating Erin for 5.5 years. We've been dating since high school, and she went here as well. And when she decided to go here, we'd only been dating for a couple months, and it was like she's always wanted to go to Cal Poly. I got into Cal Poly. I got a scholarship, so I made that decision, and then she was trying to make a decision and realized this is just the best school. It wasn't even about me at all, and it just happened to work out. And since then, our relationships always have been about just, hey, we're just kind of going with the flow, like seeing how it works out. And I knew that she was the person that I wanted to be with, or I wouldn't have been with her for that long, right?
Yeah.
And knew how it is, obviously. And so she's actually in nursing school in Omaha, Nebraska. She goes to Creighton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she was graduating in the springtime last year, and I said, this is the woman I want to be with. So I'm obviously going to take the next step. We went out to Avila Beach, and on the Sunday, I went and talked to her dad, met him in Harris Ranch.
Oh, nice.
And we had some steaks and talked about it, and I asked for his blessing, and he was very
happy. You did it the old-fashioned way.
I did, yeah. I have to be respectful in that way, and if he's going to be a part of my life in a way, and I want to do it right.
Yeah.
And so I drove all day, went over and met him, got his blessing, came back, and then that night went out to Avila. Nice. And so I had a really big day that day. But and it was fun. It was a blast. It was great memories. And
cool.
So she's been in nursing school since August. And so it's kind of been different. We've been apart this entire time. I think I haven't seen her in 2 months or something. So that's a different aspect. But, you know, if we can get through this, we can get through anything. And I knew we could. So there was no question that I wanted to be with her forever.
Wow. So you come off to me as kind of like the everyman on a lot of levels. Easy to talk to, smile on your face.
Thanks.
All the time. Do you get recognized around SLO at all?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll be at Costco maybe doing something, and someone will mention, hey, like, I really hope you can play in the next level, this and that. But not as much as you think. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you play a sport with a helmet on, so,
exactly.
You know, it's kind of hard to – somebody might see you and be like, man, maybe that guy plays football, but you don't really know.
That's true.
Know where or how. Especially when you're a lineman, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm also that kind of guy that I might walk around and I might look real scary, you know. Unless you come and talk to me, I'll be the nicest guy you've met that day. But
yeah.
A lot of people just see me and I'm large, I might have some facial hair. I used to have long hair, if you remember, and I'm not the most inviting person to look at or come to. But once they meet me, they always say hi after that.
How would you characterize fans in this community, like the community support of athletics here?
I think St. Louis is an area with a lot of things to do, and that's why some other programs in, for example, like Nebraska, where Aaron's from, there's not as much stuff to do, you know. There's So it's all about football. For here, there's other sports, there's the beach, there's whatever, fishing.
There's other stuff to do.
So I think that the fans are great in the aspect that they've caught on to Cal Poly football. They come to a lot of our games. We've had a lot of sellout games, and that's great. But I always wish we can even take it up higher, you know what I mean? And at all aspects, with basketball, with baseball doing so well, I think we're looking up, and the fans are really noticing this university. And what makes a great town is also having a great university, so we all feed off each other in a way.
Yeah.
So it's actually really nice, and it's gotten better every year, I think.
Yeah, and winning really has a lot to do with it, is what I always say. You know, when you win, I mean, there were 2,500 people in the baseball game last night, you know,
exactly.
And I think next year the basketball team is going to see an uptick.
Definitely.
Just because they're in the tournament this year.
Definitely.
I feel like I had one more question. Let me think about it for a second. It was about, oh yeah, it wasn't a question. It was something that I know your dad would be mad at both of us if we didn't mention it. He's sponsoring something over in Fresno this weekend. So
yes.
So let's, why don't you give a plug for that? You're speaking about it on Monday, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's going on?
My dad's store, Horn Photo, sponsors the...
Horn Photo in Fresno.
Horn Photo in Fresno sponsors the City County All-Star Game. And they've done it for the last 3 or 4 years. I actually played in it when I got out of high school. And it's part of the Optimist group. They do it. It's a bunch of really old guys that come together every Thursday and meet, and they're a great group. I've gone and met with them all the time, and they've all followed me, and so every year they sponsor a, or not sponsor, but they usually have someone.
They put it on.
Yeah, they put it on, and the city county chooses like a player, a past player, to come and speak, and they put them on the posters and stuff. And my year was a great year. We had a lot of big players, TJ McDonald, Cliff Harris, a bunch of other real good athletes were in our game.
Sure.
And so I'm coming back. I'm going to speak to the kids on Monday. And it's kind of just give them a little aspect of what it's like to play at the next level, kind of where they're at, and how much I really believe in that age that they're at, you know. And there's a lot of paths they can go down from now until where I am. And I kind of just want to talk to them and give them some good advice. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm doing that on Monday, and then I don't think the game is till late June.
Okay.
In Fresno.
All right. And Horn Photo will be there sponsoring.
Horn Photo will be there. They'll have all their cars out there, and everyone will have stickers or something.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I bought a camera and a lens from there. It's a really great place to go.
Well, thank you.
Go visit. Well, yeah, absolutely. And when you think about cameras and stuff, I mean, it's nice to be able to support a local camera shop with guys and people who have answers to questions, and they definitely do. We're down to one over here in San Luis, you know, one small one, and it's, you know, and they're great too, the Photoshop over here, but like, you know, whenever you can get somebody to answer questions, it's a really good thing when you're trying to learn the thing.
And that's kind of where business is changing from how it used to be, and it's always been, and let's be real, but all these big companies coming in, and a town like San Luis Obispo, where I think they're really good at supporting, like, the local business in a way, and there's a lot of little shops and stuff that are making it, and
But even here.
Yeah. And even in Fresno, you got Best Buy down the street and stuff. But that's what you have to preach, is you might be saving $10 by going to Best Buy, but when you buy from Horn Photo, you're getting the service, you're getting the whole aspect. You can call them in 10 years, and they'll still help you because they know you bought it from them.
That's your dad talking right there. I love it. All right. Well, Sullivan, you know, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you taking the time today, and good luck. You know, best case scenario, by mid-May, you'll know where you're headed, and you got to be pretty excited right now.
I'm very excited. I can't wait. I'm enjoying the calm before the storm hits, and I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in trouble town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision, and the people on the streets they beat me up till I'm black and blue. front page of the news. Keep trying to find my way back home, but the signs out on the streets direct me running back.